Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, you have poured upon us the new light of your incarnate word. Grant that this light, enkindled in our hearts, may shine forth in our lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
From the book of Isaiah. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My whole being shall exult in my God. For he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with a garland, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its shoots, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to spring up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring up before all the nations. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent, and for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest until her vindication shines out like the dawn, and her salvation like a burning torch. The nations shall see your vindication, and all the kings your glory. And you shall be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will give you. You shall be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Reading of Psalm 147, to be read responsibly by half verse. Hallelujah! How good it is to sing praises to our God.
How pleasant it is to honor him with praise.
The Lord rebuilds Jerusalem.
He gathers the exiles of Israel.
He heals the brokenhearted.
He binds up the wounds.
He counts the numbers of the stars.
And calls them all by their names.
Great is our Lord and mighty in power.
There is no limit to his wisdom.
The Lord lifts up the lowly.
And casts the wicked to the ground.
To sing the Lord with thanksgiving.
Make music to our God on the harp.
He covers the heavens with clouds.
And prepares rain for the earth.
He makes grass to grow upon the mountains.
And green plants to serve mankind.
He provides food for flocks and herds.
And for the younger ravens when they cry.
He is not impressed by the might of a horse.
He has no pleasure in the strength of a man.
But the Lord has pleasure in those who fear him.
In those who await his gracious favor.
Worship the Lord, O Jerusalem.
Praise to God in Zion.
For he has strengthened the bars of your gates.
And he has blessed the shoulder within you.
He has established peace on your borders.
He satisfies you with wise deeds.
He sends out his command to the earth.
And his word runs very swiftly.
He gives snow like wool.
He scatters forth frost like ashes.
He scatters his hail like breadcrumbs.
Who can stand against his foe?
He sends forth his word and melts them.
He blows with his wind and the waters flow.
He declares his word to Jacob.
His statutes and his judgments to Israel.
He has not done so to any other nation.
To that end, not the evil of judgments. Hallelujah.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
A reading from the Epistle of Paul to the Galatians. Now before faith came, we were imprisoned and guarded under the law until faith would be revealed. Therefore, the law was our disciplinarian until Christ came, so that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer subject to a disciplinarian. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as children. And because you are children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a child. And if a child, then also an heir through God. The word of the Lord.
Thanks.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. John testified to him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks ahead of me, because he was before me.' From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord.
Heavenly Father, help us to be aware of you. Help us to know that you're with us. Help us to realize that you didn't just create us and put us on this earth and, well, that was the end of it. That actually you created us, you put us on this earth, and you walk with us, and you just desire for us to walk with you. So help us to walk with you this day. In the name of your Son, Jesus, we pray.
Amen.
Please be seated. How's your Christmas so far? My Christmas, we had three services on Christmas Eve. I got home, I don't know, maybe 10:30, 11 o'clock, something like that. And, then I make the mistake of drinking too much water. And I didn't realize, but at my age, you shouldn't drink a whole lot of water before you go to bed. So I was up a lot. And then my dog wanted to get up, so I got up, walked both dogs, and Christmas morning, it was nice. Nobody was out Christmas morning walking the dogs. Rode my bike, got my 12 miles in before the wind picked up, went out. My son was fishing out offshore and sat, and he was having a good time. We were having a good time. Came home, took a nap, and then it was time for Christmas. Dinner. We watched Christmas movies. Watched Die Hard. It was really good. I love that Christmas movie. Because the Packers and the Browns game wasn't too much to watch for a while there. But, we celebrated. We celebrated the day. But in the midst of all that day, it was funny because I thought, well, what am I going to say this morning? What am I going to talk about this morning? And all of a sudden, I don't know why, I had this drift through my mind that about how many thoughts I have in my head. Now, let me ask you a question. It might be a crazy question. What the heck? I got a week left. What are you going to do to me? Fire me? Do you have more thoughts? And do your thoughts connect to actions? How many thoughts do you have in your brain a day? I mean, we all think like crazy. How many of us think we, think of memories and stuff like that? I'm not talking about but where you think about things that, you want to do. Things that you think you're going to do. Things that you think that would be fun to do. Do you have those thoughts and do you match them actually with action? Or do you just simply have thoughts? How many thoughts do you have? I mean, some of you I know, some of you have a whole lot of thoughts a lot of times. But do you have them, and do they come out, and do you express them? I say that because the gospel we have for today is called the prologue to John. It's the first chapter of John. And it's a beautiful, actually it was a hymn they believed in the first century. And it's, you know, it starts off, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It's funny because how does the book of Genesis start? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. This is directly parallel to that. It's basically to set up that in the beginning, you know, when you're talking about God, God created the heavens and the earth. Well, who was God? God was the Word. Now, let me make something real clear here. When they talk about Word, they aren't talking about the Bible. Okay? They're talking about Word as in logos, which is a Greek word, which means eternal thought. Eternal thought. It was a concept that both Hebrews and Jews could actually get together at the same time. You know, I said Hebrews and Jews. Hebrews and Greeks could get. And it was a concept that they could get, so the whole world should be able to understand that it was the eternal thought that started out. The eternal thought that a power greater than us had that created the heavens and the earth. You know, I thought about an eternal thought. You know, sometimes I get in some thoughts that seem like they're eternal. They aren't so good sometimes. But an eternal thought that's there that God had, that God created, that God worked through. Because what does it say in verse 14? It says, and the Word, the Logos, the eternal thought, became flesh and lived among us. You know, it's interesting. If you go back to the original Greek, and the way this was written by John to do it, it actually, if you translate it, it said, and the Word became flesh and pitched his tent with us. Pitched his tent with us. Now, that was a direct reference back to the Exodus, where, if you remember the Old Testament, what's the story about? You know, God leads them fire by night, cloud by day. Leads them through the desert. But what happens? Where does Moses meet? Where? He meets him on Mount Sinai, but then he sets up the tent, the tabernacle. He goes in there, and that's where he meets God. He talks to God right there. And the Word became flesh. The eternal thought became flesh. The eternal thought became flesh. Now, I'm not trying to give you a theology class here, okay? So don't think I am. Because this is very practical to me. This is very pragmatic. This is really what life is all about, where we have thoughts. But as a spiritual being in a human body, which, by the way, that's what you are, whether you like it or not. You're a spiritual being in a human body because the Spirit's been in you. The Spirit was there before you were. And the Spirit is in your human body, then you are like God. You are a child of God. That's what it lays out in the Christian faith, doesn't it? All the time, you're a child of God. So you have these thoughts, but the thoughts have to be managed so that they come, and they come to fruition, that they don't just remain thoughts. Don't take this too literally when you're on I-4 and driving, the traffic's really bad, where you're saying, I want to kill the guy next to me. But you do take it seriously when you are going down and all of a sudden you do get frustrated and you look over at the guy next to you to think, I want to do this, but I really want to go one step beyond. I want to go where I'm not really going to take them harm, but I'm going to actually care for them because I want to reflect my nature as a divine being. Because that eternal thought that created the heavens and the earth and you and me is in me. The Logos resides in you. Because it's that part of God that's in you. It's called the image of God. They changed names to protect the innocent. But that Logos is within you. And so the thoughts that you have are called upon us to actually bring about more creation. The reason why Jesus came to this earth was so that God could express himself to us so that we could
You know that he knew what we were really like, and so we could be really like him. God became like us in Jesus, so we could become like him in Jesus. And we come together having thoughts that are changed. I mean, if you think about it, I mean, if you look at the whole story of the scripture, what if Jesus does it all the time? I mean, I always love the fact that, you ever notice, I mean, here I just got done saying, you know, he pitched his tent with a direct reference back to the Exodus. Okay, what happens on the Exodus? You get the Ten Commandments. What does Jesus do with the Ten Commandments? It's real clear. In the Ten Commandments, Jesus says, you've heard it said, thou shalt not murder. But I say to you, if you have anger against your brother, you already committed murder. Jesus understands that there is, in so many ways, you know, you can go really on the good side of things, or you can go on the really bad stuff. So you got to stay in the holy side of things. You got to manage the thoughts that you have, not just let those thoughts go all over the place. Because to tell you the truth, the seed of all bad action in the world starts right up here. And as I've said over the 18 years I've been here, you know, my brain's a bad neighborhood to live in. It's got neighborhood watch going on. And that neighborhood watch is the Holy Spirit that's within you, the eternal thought, the logos that's in you, that's trying to help you become more of what you're called to be and a little bit less of what you are right now. You know, the good news about this sermon is, I don't really care if you don't get it. But I think you do. Because the truth of the matter is, the Christian faith is one huge adventure walking with the Lord Jesus through all of life as if it was the desert, but where all along we get closer to God. That we learn to manage our thoughts, our feelings, that they are all part of us, but they don't have to control us because the Holy Spirit is what's called to control us. You know, it's funny because I had many memories in the last little week. I guess the older you get, you know, I don't think I'm thinking you're older than me. Okay, but the older you get, the more you remember history. And I'll never forget growing up. I've told you before, you know, I grew up in Island, New Jersey, okay? We went to the First Presbyterian Church of Island. My dad was an elder in the church. My mother was an elder and a deacon. And she also was the church secretary. So, you know, I mean, a lot of the times when I was a little kid, I lived down there, you know? And I used to always be, you know, where she'd have me in the church office. I didn't mind being in there because they had the mimeograph papers that they do the bulletins on. I love that smell. I mean, it was great. It's like, come on, Mom, make some more bulletins, you know? But the truth of the matter is every once in a while, she'd send me into the church during the week. And if I had to go into the church in a week, there was no lights on. It was totally dark. I was so scared God was going to jump out and just scare me. After all these years, I realized that God wasn't going to jump out and scare me. God was going to jump out and hug me. Mm-hmm. And it was the fear that was keeping me from it. I remember one time, really clearly, where we had, and this will show my age definitely, but, you know, I had to be there for church early. We had Sunday school. After that, there was another service, and for some reason, I had to stay around because my mom and dad were probably involved in the services. And I wandered down to the main street with a buddy of mine, Mike Laser. And I walked in, and it was a confectionery store. That's the early names for a 7-Eleven, if you remember, a confectionery store. And I walked in, and, you know, they had, you know, all the stuff. And I walked up, and all of a sudden, there was this thing. I don't think it was called Sweet Tarts, but there were Sweet Tarts there. Okay? And I was like, I want some of those. I want some of those. I'll never forget. I went over and all of a sudden the guy wasn't looking. I picked him up. I mean, this is right after Sunday school, so I know him really bad now. So I pick it up. I put it in my pocket. I go back to the church. My dad comes out, and I'm eating these Sweet Tarts. And he looks at me and he goes, you're eating Sweet Tarts. Where'd you get them? Give me one of those. I'm thinking, okay, now I've involved him in the crime. And I said to him, I said, well, they're Sweet Tarts. He goes, where did you get those? And I'll never forget, I said, well, Mike, I was with Mike, thinking that would be a good enough answer. He goes, I didn't ask you who you were with. I said, where did you get them? I said, well, they were just sitting on the counter. He figured out what went on. He looked at me and he said, you thought about it before you did it, didn't you? I said, yeah, I thought about it. He goes, that was where you started going wrong. You connected your thought of what you wanted in a direction that took you to the wrong destination. You know I would have given you money for the sweet tarts. Why don't you just think, I want the sweet tarts, come back, take the extra steps to see me, and I would give it to you. He goes, I got another thought for you right now. Here's the money. You're going back and paying for it. But you're going to tell them what you did. You know, I guess even then I was learning that somehow there was a thought that was inside me that I could manage or I could not manage. After 71 years, I'll be up front with you, I manage about 50%. But I know that the God that's within me, the God that resides in me, the image of God that I'm created into, the Holy Spirit that I have and the Holy Spirit that you have, the image of God that you have, has given me the ability to manage those feelings, manage those thoughts, if I just turn to my Father in heaven before I act on any of those thoughts. And that's the good news to me of Christmas. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word became flesh and pitched his tent with us. He's been walking with you your whole entire life. How much do you listen to him? How much do you pay attention to him? How much do you laugh with him? How much do you cry with him? But most of all, how much do you trust him? Life in this world is dependent upon a couple of things. Breath, food, shelter, but most of it's dependent upon trust. Trust in a power that's greater than you, that I believe is an eternal thought that's issued forth into all the universe and has come to this world and then become flesh. And his name was Jesus. As you come to the Eucharist this day, I pray that you come knowing this. God really is with you. And what he wants to do is laugh with you, play with you, work with you, be with you. Go through the deserts and go through the mountaintops with you. Turn at every turn and stay on the adventure until you see him face to face in all his glory, as we all will. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.